22, verse 31. I'm going to be preaching the next several times that I preach on, I guess I've entitled it, Someone Please Help Me. Someone Please Help Me. Dead After Mission, I've got a series of lessons from a book that we've been preaching. And the more I look at it, I think it only applies to the drug addict on the street, but the people in the pew that Satan has ensnared lives. So I encourage you just to listen. If you're able to take notes, take notes, and ask God to speak to our hearts. If you're able to turn your Bibles, you would, to Luke chapter 22:31, and hold your place there. We're gonna look up several other verses, and I'll have you stand while we read, but don't stand yet. Luke 22:31. Luke 22:31. Thankful for the day that we had at the mission today. It was a very, not only number-wise, but it was a very encouraging day. So I thank the Lord for that. If you'd be in prayer, please, for Luke 22:31. There's a family in Norwood that the pastor called me the other day from, he texted me from New Mexico. It's a people got a church, and they moved to Ohio, and they're about 5 minutes from the mission. So, he just asked us to go in and spend time with the family, try to encourage them to get back in church. So if you family is the Marriott family. So if you be in prayer for them, please, that they would get in church. Luke chapter 22, verse 31, and hold your place there. Then 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, and hold your place there. Then we'll stand and be able to stand here just a minute and read these verses. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Luke chapter 22, and then 1 Peter chapter 5, and then 2 Timothy 2:26. To 2 Timothy 2:26. 2 Timothy 2:26. Would you find us, if you're able to stand, I invite you to stand as we read God's word tonight. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Verse 32, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou convertest, strengthen thy brethren. Verse 31 again, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Now over to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, please. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Text verse there is this. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26 says this, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him as will. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight just to stop and to clear our hearts and minds. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to listen to you tonight. Lord, help us to not think this does not apply to us. But Lord, help us all realize that thy word, every word applies to us. And Father, Lord, I pray that you'd, Lord, I know that you're speaking. Lord, I pray you'd speak to my heart even tonight, Lord, as we preach. Lord, I pray you give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech. But Lord, more than anything else, we pray that name would be glorified, and we pray that folks would be edified. Lord, accomplish your will in our lives. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You can have a seat. Here in the verses that we read, it's easy to see that the Brother Alex, you close by? Come on, Alex. And my wife is glad. Alex, that down to Hope today. How many times do I have you up front? Too many times. I used to sit up front a lot today. You know, here's Alex. You know, I'll get you. Okay, you know, here's Alex. Just a young kid. Just got saved. Just got in church. The devil wants to destroy his life. The devil, while he's young, wants to destroy his life. Over here, and older lady in the church, come up here, Miss Lady, since you to me one more time is good. Over here, I can't say how old she is because that's crossing the line. I'll get in trouble. But here she is. She's been in church. She's been faithful for years. She's been in church since the day she was born. She's raised in a good church, good home, taught. She's what we call a good Christian lady. As much as the devil wants to destroy his life, the devil wants to destroy her life as well. And folks, in our lives, what we have to understand to people is this, that it's not if Satan will attack, but when he will attack and how he will attack. Now, there's sometimes I need another guy. Nathan, come up here. You're our teenager, you're an older person, and you're our middle-aged guy. Over here is our middle-aged guy. He's not young, he's not older, he's not young. But here he is. The things that the devil will attack the young man with, the lust of the eyes. The things you see that he will attack him there. He will attack him with the lust of the flesh. And he would attack him with the pride of life. It's the pride of life. In our lives, it's not if the devil will attack, but when he will attack, and then stop and saying that he has already attacked. See, it's Satan's desire to overwhelm the young people that God can't use them, their life is ruined, they can't do anything for God, and there is no hope, there's no way out, they're in a mess, and they can't get out of the mess. He wants the middle-aged person, that their life is a mess, they can't go on, there's nothing they can do right, and just overwhelm them, and the people that have been in church for a long time, that have served faithfully, the devil attacks them as well. And see, sometimes the devil attacks us in the outward things of life, like the mission is very obvious. It's alcohol and drugs and heroin, all that stuff. And then it's also sometimes he attacks our minds. He takes us captive in our minds. Sometimes he takes us captive in our spirits and in our wills. And sometimes we think that there's just no hope. So Satan has so attacked us and so ensnared us, we think there is no hope. There is nothing I can do. I don't know. That's a mission. There's a guy walked in the other night. I was preaching a message the other night. He says, "Preacher, that's me." He says, "I know, right? There's no hope. I can't do right." Just, it's there everywhere. But it's not just on the street. It's here at church sometimes. "Preacher, I just can't do right. I don't know what's wrong. I just can't keep going. I've done this and I've done that." And when we come to the point in our lives where we think that there is just no hope, I'm stuck here, and I can't go on anymore, and there's no hope. Thank you. You all three sit down. Thank you. Good. Look over Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. The devil's goal is to get us to where we think that there's no hope. Back over to Romans chapter 15, verse 4. I think that these lessons can apply anything from what we call the socially acceptable sins, which is still sin in God's eyes, or the sins of addictions and habits and those things as well. This applies to all. Look at Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Romans chapter 15 in verse 4. It says, "For whatsoever things written for our time, written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope." Folks, I don't care how the devil has attacked us. I don't care if we're ensnared with a drug, or we're ensnared with a habit, or we're snared with a socially acceptable sin. I don't care where we're at. The Bible says there's hope, that we might have hope. Brother Sullivan, it's okay if I use you. Sure. Come here, Brother Sullivan, just for, I don't know him all. Here's Brother Sullivan. I don't know him from Adam. He's a good guy, but there might be a sin in his life that no one knows about. There might be something there that he's kept hidden for years and no one knows about. And the devil says, "I've got you. You're not going on no further. There is just no hope. Why don't you just give up and quit before everyone finds out what's going on?" It could be that tonight. Thank you, Miss Owens. It could be Brother York. Can you just stand up right there for a second? Stay right there. It could be the devil's just attacked his mind. And he just attacked. And the devil's telling him lie after lie after lie. Sit down, brother. It could be an area of anger or lying or gossip. It could be all the other extremes. But tonight, folks, I want to look to how that there is help. Now, number one, I want to look at the promise of help. If you would look at Isaiah 41:10, book of Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. And then verse 13. Isaiah 41:10. Says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." In verse 13, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will bring help." So we see there's help. Look at Psalm 46, 1. Psalm chapter 46 and verse 1. We see, first of all, the promise of help. Psalm chapter 46 and verse 1. Says this: "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble." God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Maybe you're here tonight, your situation or a habit or anything you want to call it, you're something, and you think that there's no hope, there is no help. I want you to know tonight that God loves you, and there's help. He said, "I'm the Lord thy God. I will hold thy right hand, saying to thee, fear not. And folks, in our lives, I believe it's important that I understand that there's always hope. There's always hope, and then the Lord is always there to help. So when the devil tells you that there is no hope for this and no hope for that, take him to Romans 15:4. When the devil said there's no one to help you, say, "But my God is my helper." Turn, if you would, to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. Psalm chapter 25. In verse 7 says, "Remember the sins of my youth, according to my transgressions, according to thy mercy. Remember me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord." I'm thankful tonight that the Lord wants to help. Tonight, if you're here tonight, there's an area of your life that you struggle with. Maybe it's an area people know about, or area that's hidden that no one knows about. I want you to know one thing: there's a promise of help. That whatever we're going through, that the Lord is there to help us, and He not only help us, but He wants to hold us by the right hand, and to get us through these things. So we see, number one, there's a promise of help. Number two, let's look at the prayer for help. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Number one, the promise of help. There's a promise of help. Number two, the prayer for help in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. We need to pray and ask for help. "Ask, it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened." So we see the prayer for help. Now look over at Matthew 15:25. Matthew 15:25. Matthew 15:25. "Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me." Then on over to Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. There's a promise of help. There's also a prayer for help. Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 6. But without faith it's impossible to please him, for he cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. The prayer for help is simply this. They say, Lord, help me, and really want help. There's lots of folks that cry out for help, but they want help on their terms. It's not in faith. It's not on God's terms. Lord, I want you to help me. You know, we pray for revival. But if we knew what revival cost us, would we really want revival? A lot of people really want help, but they don't want help on God's terms. They want help on their terms. Maybe because, you know, number one, there's a promise of help. Number two, there's a prayer for help. Turn back to Psalm 71. Psalm chapter 70. Verse 1. This is all the introduction tonight. Psalm chapter 70, verse 1. I believe it's a great prayer to memorize. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. It's important that we take time to pray and ask God to help us. This evening, if you're here tonight, an area of life that you struggle with, maybe you struggle with it from your youth up, or it might be something new, but I want to tell you tonight, there's a promise of help. There's no sin. Lady, come here real quick. There's no sin the devil wants to entangle us. I just want to hug. Okay, the devil wants to take and entangle us and hold us captive. I myself can't get away from the devil. Like, she can't get away from me. She's been trying. She can't get away from me. I'm too strong for her. In our lives, in our spiritual lives, thank you. In our spiritual lives, we can't do it by ourselves. The habits that we have, that our willpower says, well, I'm going to break it, and we break it for a short while, and then we're back at it, and then over and over, the cycles over and over again, things we try to stop doing, the things we wish we'd quit doing, all those things, we try on our own. And then we get disgusted and say, Lord, I can't do it. And the Lord says, I'm the Lord thy God. I will hold thy right hand. I will help thee. He wants us to cry for help and say, Lord, help me. But he wants us to cry out in help where we pray in faith. God, I want you to do it. God, I can't do it. In our lives, it's an area of our lives now that we're bound up in, that we need help in. Are we willing to say, Lord, help me? If we would pray, we would pray like this, like the psalmist prayed, to the Lord, make haste, come help me. He will come and he will help us. So we see number one, the promise of help. Number two, the prayer for help. And then number three, the plan for help. We need a plan, but we don't need a program. Look, if you would, first at Job chapter 12, verse 13. Job 12:13. We see here a scriptural plan for help. Job chapter 12, verse 13. Job chapter 12 and verse 13. With him is wisdom and strength. He has counsel and understanding. With him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. Now turn over to Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. Proverbs 2, 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh understanding, cometh knowledge and understanding. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. The first part of the plan for help is to listen. God has given us his word for a reason. Here's wisdom. Here's God's wisdom for us. Inside this book is the key to every situation I will ever handle is here in this cover. I need just to stop sometimes and listen. I know when our kids were small, sometimes I'd say, just stop and listen. Tomorrow we'll be over at your church. They was wound up this morning. I said, stop and listen. They got quiet for about a second, and they went back. You know, I said, stop and listen. But sometimes we holler at the kids and say, just stop and listen, guys. Just stop and I'm trying to talk to you. Sometimes I almost think the Lord's saying, stop and listen. I have the answer here. I am wisdom. I give wisdom. I give understanding. I give these things. Just stop and listen. The next several weeks, I encourage you, stop and listen. But it doesn't apply to me. Well, stop. But I got. Well, it's not that. Well, stop and listen. Say, God, speak to my heart. I think of the psalmist says, Lord, search me and know me. See if there be any wicked thing in me. Let's just stop and say, Lord, I'm listening. Speak to my heart, Lord. What do you want? I don't care if you're here and you just got saved and you're still what we call a baby Christian. You've got a lot of growing to do. I don't care if you're here and you're a mature Christian. You've been saved for 40, 50, 50 years or plus. I don't care who we are. It's God's plan that we stop and we listen. We talk about several things in days ahead. Just don't say, but Lord, that's not me. Lord, I don't struggle. But just stop and listen. It might be if I stop and listen, God can show me something in my life that's a hindrance to my life. So the first thing is to stop and to listen. The second part of the plan is to learn. Is to learn. If you would go over and turn Psalm 119, 9 through 11. Psalm 119, 9 through 11. Number one, we listen. Number two, we learn. Psalm 119, 9 through 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, but take heed there according to thy word? With my whole heart have I sought thee. Well, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against God. Listen. Just stop and listen, and then learn. As God brings verses to our mind or things to our mind that we need to work on, find a verse of the Bible and deals with that. Say, Lord, help me memorize this first. And then begin to memorize, commit that to memory, to think on it over and over again. At high school, I didn't have a temper. I just wasn't a temper type guy. But when I got to college, it was a switch went off. And I had a terrible temper. Not boasting, but my shame one night, my wife and I was out on a date. Some guys came out of the truck and said something they shouldn't have said. I lost it. I chased them down, ran them off the road, beat the truck. My wife was sitting in the car crying, take me. You know, that was a bad way to end a date. But take me off. She was crying. And I bent the truck from front to back, just hitting it. I totally lost it. And from that time forward, for years, I had trouble with anger. There was pictures in our house, some high, some low, depending on how I threw something. Right, Lydia? I mean, it was just terrible. At church, go home, shut the doors. And I got mad. I met the kids, and I ripped the door off the room. Wickedness. Somewhere along the line, the devil got into my life, into my heart. He bound me with that wicked, I mean, with the wicked sin of anger. If I called it my marriage, my ministry, thank God one day I woke up and realized I was in a world of hurt. I went to a friend. He said, Rick, you need to memorize scriptures on anger. He said, when anger comes back, begin to quote those scriptures. I learned verses on anger. I proverb about the angry man. I studied the angry man. I learned those verses. thank God he gave me victory. But you know what? That's the hot button. And the devil knows what buttons to push on us. Every so often, I feel my face get red and, it comes back. But so those verses. Lord, make haste and help me. Folks, in our lives, it's time we take our mask off and say, God, I need help. There's nothing that we would tell God. He says, wow, I know that, Rick. There's nothing that you can tell God that he doesn't already know. But I'm telling you, folks, tonight, you need to stop and to listen to God's word. It's not just for the heroin addict on the street. It's for the saint in the pew. It's time that we just stop and listen and say, Lord, speak to my heart. Lord, show me any wicked thing in me. Lord, search me and know me. And then let's learn. Take an area of the life you struggle with. Begin to memorize verses on that area. And say, God, give me victory. And then you begin to meditate on those verses. And if you want to help God's way, he'll help you. First, you listen. And then we learn God's word. And then we live. If you would, go ahead and turn back to the book of Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. To live is to live what we say we are. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. I think we see all three of these. Joshua 1, 8 said, the book of the law, that's the listening, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate, that's the learning, thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. We listen, we learn, and we live. It's not always easy to listen, not always easy to learn, not always easy to live, but that's God's plan. If we want victory in our lives, listen, learn, then apply what we know. You know, there's a generation of young people that grew up in church that's now out of church. There's a generation of preachers that pastor churches. Now, they're out of church. It's not just the pew. It's not just the pulpit. It's everyone. We've listened. We've never learned. Or we've listened and learned, we've never applied. In our life, to want help God's way, Nathan, come here, please, brother Nathan. Let's say he has a problem no one knows about, and I'm not going to say anything. I don't know if he's a problem or not, but I just want to take a wild guess and find out something different. He's got a problem. He listens to God's word. He learns God's word. He really has a desire to overcome that problem. He has a desire just to get rid of that. He's not going to pray about it one time, most likely, and memorize 10 verses on it, and it'd be gone. You know what the devil's going to do? He's going to attack full speed ahead. Now, the mission, when someone gets saved, it's like, wham! I mean, they get hit hard. That girl at the mission that came back to the mission today, she got saved. She's excited, man. She got hit, bam, bam. I kept Brother Burke a prize to it. It was like, bam, bam, bam. Megan baptized the other night. Chalmer. He'd be back to church. Not missed in 2 years. He started tithing and sold out to God. Said, I'm going to do right, preacher. And wham! He got hit hard. Talked to him yesterday. He said, preacher, he said, at first, I was wrong. It was ugly. He said, I realize now I was wrong. I'm coming back. But not yet. He said, brother, the longer you stay out, the harder it is to come back. He said, please don't stay too long. What it is, he's ashamed. He got hit hard. And tonight, whenever you decide to listen and to learn, and then you begin to live, you expect that the devil's going to fight. Still this day, the other day I was doing something in the coat closet, and I was trying, my neck was hurting, I was trying to reach something on the top shelf, and the bag wouldn't come out, and I just grabbed the box and looked around, there stood Pastor. What happened? Just that instant. The devil's fighting. He never quits. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking by whom he may devour. And if Brother Nathan decides to listen and to learn and to live, you let's say tomorrow, let's say that he's me years ago, and he had trouble with anger, and he steps, and he begins to live right. And all of a sudden, something comes up. And all of a sudden, anger comes up. The devil says, get him. Say this. And sometimes we fail because we're human. I'm not making excuses. We're all accountable to God. No excuses. But sometimes we fail and we fall. The Bible says the righteous man falleth and gets back up. Sometimes the righteous still fall, but they get back up. So once we learn to, we decide to listen, we decide to learn it, and we decide to live, and we begin to live right and do right and put forth every effort we can with the Lord's help to make these changes, the devil will fight. And when you fall, say, Lord, I'm sorry I messed up. Please forgive me. And then get up and start walking again. Thank you, brother. I've used the illustration over and over again of kids when they first learn to walk. When they first learn to walk, they take a couple steps and they'll fall. And they'll cry and they'll whine. They get back up. They walk again. And then before long, they're walking great distances. And before long, they're older and they're running. They're playing sports. And you say, how can that be the same kid that when they was 3 years old that they could run and bounce the ball both? Because they grew. They matured. In our lives, it's the same way. We learn and we live and we mature spiritually, and victories come and victories continue to come. But it's never, look, one last time, lady. Let's fast forward now, 80, not 80 more years, till she's 80 now. She's 80 now. You know what? The devil still wants to destroy her. If the devil can rob her of her joy in her older years, he will. If the Lord can get her to quit in her older years, he will. Why? Not only for her, but just think, stay there, lady. If Brother Sam, come here real quick. Let's say Brother Sam grew up and has known Miss Lee all of his life, and he's watched her think, you know, she's a sweet lady, you know. You think she's a sweet lady, and you know she's done this and she's done that. He had a lot of respect for her. What would happen if she gets mad? The devil gets in and destroys, and she quits church and leaves. I've never come back again. What effect would that have on the next generation? A lot of effect. Be sober, be vigilant, because you ever said that the devil is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Let's decide. I'm going to listen. God, speak to my heart. Lord, search me and know me. And then they begin to learn God's word. I challenge you. Begin to learn a verse. The other night at the mission, thank you. The other night with Bob Sims. Don't think he'd ever memorize the verse. So, all right, anybody know the verse? Isaiah 41:13. I am the Lord thy God. I will hold thy right hand. Say to thee, fear not, I will help thee. Yes. It feels good to memorize God's word. I challenge you, listen and learn, and then apply God's word to our lives. Say, God, help me with this. Lord, help me overcome these things. And then when we fall, say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me and get back up. The same plan that Joshua gave the children of Israel, there in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, the same plan God leads for us today. Whatever area of life we struggle with, that is true in our lives today. I just challenge us all. If you're here tonight, I can't get ahead. But if you're here tonight, say, God, search me and know me. If God speaks your heart, pray that you see, pray at the altar, go home and pray. Just kneel and say, Lord God, search me. Lord, I acknowledge. And then when he shows you, say, I acknowledge this, God. I need help. Then look up some verses that deal with that. Thing from lying to anything major. They're all major, but anything what we call more major. And then learn those verses. And when you're tempted to sin, Lord, make haste to help me. The Bible says, the man that could not control his spirits. Like I said, he broke down without walls. Because Satan just walks in. Satan could walk in and push my. That's what happened. We had a fist fight on the bus a couple weeks ago on the way down the mission. Satan just walked in and to push the buttons, and man, it was like all explosion. Satan knows our buttons. And I guarantee you, you begin to live right and do right and learn and grow, and Satan will push every button we have. No matter if we've been saved a day or been saved for 30 or 40 years, Satan will still try to destroy us. Tonight, let's listen, let's learn, and let's live. If we all stand with heads bowed and eyes closed, please.